as far as you. Not just in the flesh, but he satisfies you way down deep. Because when God created us, he created us with this unique void and emptiness that only God can fill. The problem is that as we go through life, we start craving other things and say, okay, maybe this is going to fill this void. Maybe this is going to satisfy this void. And we keep finding out that none of it will satisfy us like the Lord can. So when you really experience his presence, you say, whoa, what is this? And so David, as flawed as he was, he understood this. Let's pick up at verse 1. And I love how he opens it. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold or my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Watch this. When evildoers assail me to eat of my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet will I be confident. Verse 4, when the one thing have I desired or I've asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord, or says, all of my days, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up. No longer is it looking down. No longer is it shame. But he will lift my head up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. But that'll preach all by itself if you read it right. Emphasis, if you read it right. There's a couple of things that right desires reveal. And it reveals the first thing, that we must express our confidence in the Lord. Say it with me. Express your confidence in the Lord. Note how David makes this declaration very personal. He says, the Lord, watch this, is my light. He is my salvation. He is my strength. Because he says these things not based on what he had heard. He said these things based upon what he has experienced. Okay, y'all didn't catch that. Okay. So let's think about it like this. There are some fans here that love the Chicago Bears. I'm not gonna talk bad about the Bears. But notice how they describe their Bears. It is never, I like this team. I don't like the Bears. I love my team. We've been through some things. Oh, it's going to get quiet right through here. It's okay, y'all. We've experienced the highs. And y'all naming days, Jesus. And we've also experienced the lows. And it seems like some droughts are longer than others. But it doesn't change the fact that this is my. Because you've experienced the things with the team. Well, the same goes for God. We say God is my light. Why? Because there were moments that were dark, and I experienced God as my light. There are moments when I experience being unkempt and feeling unsafe, but yet God has proven that he is my salvation. There are times in my life where I felt weak in my body, yet God was my strength. And we say these things not based on just hearing other people's testimony, but we say these things because we've experienced God firsthand. And so therefore, I'm able to say he is my light. Why? Because he's shown himself to be my light. I can say he's my salvation because he's shown himself to be my salvation. And whenever you have experienced God, you make it very personal. Can't no one talk about my team. I mean, my God. That was on purpose. And watch what he says. He says, because I have experienced God this way, watch what he says. I am not fearful, nor am I afraid. Now, notice David uses two different terms for fear and afraid. The first one suggests, Yahweh suggests that when the moment is big, I'm not going to be overwhelmed by the moment. Because there are some moments in our life that are just big moments, whether it's a promotion, whether it's a move from Little Rock, Arkansas, whether it's having a new child. These are big moments in our life, whether it's getting married. These are big moments. But here's the thing. It's exciting moments, not something that you're scared of. You say, okay, God, you're getting ready to do something really awesome. God, you've promoted me. You've opened this door. God, this is awesome. And though I cannot control the outcome, God, you've made it possible for me to experience this big thing. So I'm not tripping. I'm not tripping. I'm grateful, God, that you have opened this door. But then he says, I should not be afraid, because watch this. Now he's suggesting that there are some moments that are frightful where now I'm fearing failure. I'm fearing coming up short and feeling inadequate. And he says, now because I've experienced the Lord as my life and my salvation and my strength, I'm not going to be overwhelmed by the moment because he's there with me, and I'm not going to be afraid because he hadn't given me the spirit of fear. Are y'all tracking with me? So he is confident that because God has been consistent in his life, that he's not going to trip whatever moments come before him, because there's going to be some big moments. Matter of fact, we expect for there to be some big moments in our life, but we also trust that God can keep us in that. So even when we don't feel adequate, even when we feel insufficient, the moment never gets too big for God, because God has the power to keep us. And when we are faced with some certain situations that makes us afraid, guess what? He doesn't allow us to be afraid because he is with us. And David says, I'm not going to trip because God says, I am with you. Amen? So God says, I got you. But then watch what else he says. And I love this. Look at verse 2. So he's confident because God is his light, his salvation, his strength. Then he says this. He says, when evildoers assail me or come against me to try to eat my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart should not fear. The war arise against me, yet will I be confident. Now, I want you to know something. One of the things that David is known for is being a warrior. God had gifted him to know how to fight. Okay. And some of y'all know what I mean by that, because some of y'all are gifted to fight at all times. We just need to know how to fight right. Amen, somebody. But watch this. So he's using all this kind of this military description, that adversaries and foes and armies and war and all these kinds of things. Now, he could have said, you know what? I am gifted to fight. And although we're not really sure what circumstances he was faced, because notice this, David always had some fights that he had to deal with. Okay, and watch this. And he could not plan these fights. They just seemed to just happen. Because although we don't know when, but we know that it's going to be consistent, because just like even in our own spiritual life, we can best believe that there's going to be sometimes trouble just going to find its way into our life, and we're just going to have to learn how to fight. But watch this. David says, I'm not going to trust my ability to fight, even though I'm gifted to do this. I'm not going to rest in my abilities to get myself out of this situation. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Because sometimes I think we trust more in our abilities, our intellect, to get us out of situations more than we depend upon God. Oh, y'all left me by myself. God wants us to not rely on what we can do, but trust who he is. And we have to be very careful. We're grateful for the abilities that God gives us. But don't confuse that as your salvation. Don't confuse that as your light. Don't confuse that as your strength. Trust. Notice what David says. And then I am confident because of who God is, not what I can do. Amen? He says, say it with me, yet will I be confident. So he makes this next transition. So he's expressing his confidence in God. But then secondly, watch this, he begins to express his desire for God's presence. Oh, my gosh. Notice what David says. Look at verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek, or I desire after, that I may dwell or remain or abide in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So again, David, who is this military strategist who've had some tremendous wins, and you have to be very careful of the wins you have, because it will fool you into thinking that you're more capable in saving yourself than God is. Because he could have said, God, one thing have I desired, and that's to use my skills to bring the beat down on these people. Because remember, what is his experience? He's faced a giant. He's faced lions. And if you remember, I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter 18, they began to sing songs about him. You know, Saul killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. So he has experience. He has victories. But here's one thing he says, I'm not going to rest on prior victories to get me out of this situation, because God is the one who gave me the victory to begin with, and therefore I'm going to crave him more than just the previous victories. So we have to be very careful about what we crave, because sometimes we can crave the victory more than we crave the one who gave us the victory. Okay, y'all left me by myself. I can pray, God, give me a great job, but I cannot trust this great job to get me out of every circumstance. Are y'all tracking with me? I can pray, God, give me a great mate, but I can't trust my mate to get me out of certain circumstances. Okay, getting quiet right up in here. Because we need to crave more of him and less of ourselves. So notice what he says. It's two things that he reveals about his craving, his desire. Because he says this, that I seek, or in the Greek, or in the Hebrew, it says to desire something, to crave something. In other words, what David wanted, he wanted to linger in God's presence. See, for David, it was not just enough to visit God every now and then. For David, he says, I want to not just visit him, but I want to rest in his presence. I want to stay right here and experience all of who God is, because all of who God is satisfies my soul. And so I don't want to be moved from his presence. And if anything, I crave to be in his presence. But I love what he says next. He also suggests that not only is he willing to linger, but watch this. Oh, I love this. But he's willing to learn from God. Because notice he uses the word, he says, to inquire in his temple. In the Hebrew, and I love this, the word gives us this notion to plow. It's to suggest that you're trying to unearth something, to dig up something, to discover something. And so what David is saying is that, God, not only do I want to linger in your presence, I want to learn more about you, God. And I want to work in your presence. I want to stay in your presence, because when I do, I learn more about you and less about myself. Woo, Jesus. Because it's not just enough for us to just say, okay, Lord, I'm waiting on you. But as I'm waiting on you, God, what can you show me about who you are? Because here's the one thing I learned. When God show you who he is, it'll shake your confidence in who you are. Are y'all tracking with me? So remember, again, when we look at Isaiah, he says, he see the Lord high and lifted up. He doesn't say, wow, ain't I all right? Ooh, look at me, Jesus. No, when he sees God, he sees himself, and he says, woe is me. I messed up. Because when the Lord is in the proper perspective, when he's high and lifted up, he exposes who you really are. You see, we can fake real good in church. We can shout and say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen. We can say all the Christianese words. You can write that down, Christianese. So you're like, what is that? You know the church language. Words that you only use in church. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. It's not just I'm doing well. Because if you go and do that on your job, they're going to look at you like, oh, can you just say fine? Because sometimes we try to really show our spirituality. God bless my mama. You know, for some of y'all have called her. And she's going to answer the phone. Praise the Lord, saints. Even if the person on the other end ain't saved or even know Jesus. I remember when I was working for this finance company, I had to make this phone call, and this is the one that really threw me off, because she was really spiritual. She was really spiritual. So she answered the phone, the blood of Jesus. I just hung up. I wasn't quite ready for that yet. I'm like, what? Because sometimes people try too much to prove that they are really all that deep in Jesus. But in reality, if you're before God, he'll show you that you're really not all that and that you have room for improvement. All right? So when you're in his presence, you want to linger, you want to hang there, but then also you want to learn something. Amen? Learn something. So you got to stay in his presence. Tell your neighbor, stay in his presence. Because when you're in his presence, there's a blessing. While in his presence, don't leave me by myself. When you have experienced God's presence, you realize there is nothing else like it. There is nothing that can satisfy you more than his presence. Because one thing that's going to be a constant in our life is ups and downs. One thing we're going to experience, highs and lows, good and bad. But if we're in his presence, he helps us. Look at verse 5. Because David now is sharing what the blessing is. This is what he says. For he, this is God, will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. So he's talking about God protects me. All right? He says, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high up on the rock. So now he's talking about the measure and the degree of his protection. So it's not just that he's going to protect you, but he's going to be able to protect you in a way that will blow you away. Because there are some life circumstances that can be very overwhelming, and it's not enough for God to just protect you, but you know that he protects you to the highest degree. Oh, my gosh. Okay, because we can do some things to protect ourselves and make ourselves feel safe, but there are just some things that God is able to do to protect us that is absolutely mine. So when people look at us, when we go through different circumstances in life and we have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and they're saying, well, how is that even possible? It's because his protection is keeping me. Are y'all tracking with me? I heard one of the members, I'm not going to say her name, in our class this morning, she says, since May, I believe, they lost 5 people in their family. I want you to hear that. But what I was amazed by was her countenance. She wasn't in distress. She wasn't worried because she understood that her God is a keeper. So although I'm in these unkept situations, one thing I can know for certain is that God can protect me from all of life's circumstances. And therefore, I would crave him and desire him the more because he's able to keep me and protect me. Watch what he says. So he protects me to a high degree. Then verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Because remember, he says that he's going to put me in a high and lifted up place in secure protection, okay? He says, so I have no reason. Oh, my gosh. So this is not suggesting like you're sad or you're depressed kind of hanging down. This is what he is suggesting. He says, because God has so elevated me above my enemies, I have no reason to even look down at them. Okay. Because the temptation sometimes is to look at our situation more than we look at our God. And he is saying that because God has so elevated me above my problems, there is no reason for me to even look down at the problems anymore because I have a God that is bigger than any situation I can face. So I'm not even looking at that. I'm not even tripping over that. No, not today. Because he has elevated me to a place of protection. And because of that, watch what he says. He says, then I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. Because so I'm not looking at the enemies. I'm not looking at these armies against me. I'm looking to God. And in response to looking at God, I'm going to give him praise. I'm going to give him worship. Because he has secured me. Then he says, and I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Because see, David shows us that it's not just about the celebration, but also it's about the contemplation on who God is. Are y'all tracking with? Okay, y'all not with me. I love my friend. I'm not going to tell you who he is, Alvin. He's a good brother. And I've observed two different instances where I have no doubt where his convictions are. I remember we've been in two different homes, and I love what he does, and it's usually after service. He tries to find the nearest TV. Because if we're meeting during the time that the Bears are playing, he will even rearrange furniture. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Because he wants to see his team. Because he would do whatever's necessary to be in the presence of his team. He's in other people's home. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It does not matter what house he goes into. He's going to rearrange furniture. There is no question who he desires. There's no question who he celebrates. But see, that's not just true about his team, though. But it's also true about his faith in Jesus Christ. Because there's no doubt that he loves God, and it emanates from who he is. He's compassionate. He's loving. Why? Because he's experienced God's presence. And when you experience God's presence, you behave a little differently because you've encountered his presence. You're no longer the same kind of guy because you have experienced his presence. And so at times I wonder then, why do we have so many mean, nasty attitude, not giving folk that say they have experienced God's presence? God is loving, God is kind, God is giving, and if I've experienced his presence, guess what? I'm going to be loving, I'm going to be kind, I'm going to be giving because I've encountered his presence. And I just want to tell you today, would you hunger for his presence? Would you desire his presence? And watch, God will not leave you the same. I hear you. And maybe you're saying, I've done all the right things, but my situation hasn't changed. And God is saying to you today, it's not about making the right decisions and doing the right things per se, but it's having the right desires. And when you desire God's presence, he changes everything else in you and around you. It gives you a different perspective on life. I was telling this brother the other day, and God bless Ed. You know, he just lost his mom today, so we're praying for him. But he had taken me to go pick up my rental car, and while we were there, I'm sure he was wondering why it was taking me so long. to just rent a car. But I was in there. I was, you know, I'm going to be me. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to love people. I'm going to laugh, have a good time. And as I'm sitting there, I can hear this brother just, there's no hope in him. And so we go outside, and I've been there about 45 minutes. But I noticed he was hanging on every word I was saying. He wasn't punching in numbers or what he was supposed to be doing. He was just so focused on what I was saying. So as we get out, we walk around the car. We're supposed to anyway. We're supposed to walk around to see if there was any damage on the vehicle. But we couldn't really get around the car because he asked me a question. He says, you married, right? I said, yeah. He said, how long you been married? I said, man, almost 14 years. He says, man, how is that even possible? He said, how can you just be committed to one person for all these years? And I just simply said, man, I didn't have great examples. You know, my parents weren't great examples of how to be a good father or a good, you know, good husband. No. I said, because I encountered Jesus Christ, I'm able to be the husband and father that I am today. He says, I've heard all that before. I said, mm-mm. Let me tell you that when you've experienced his presence, your whole attitude, appetites, and desires totally change. The way you're thinking, I don't think anymore because Jesus totally changed my thinking. So it's incomprehensible for you because you hadn't experienced his presence. It doesn't make sense to you because you have not known the Jesus that I know. And I said, but when you try him, then watch what he says. He says, I don't believe in all that. I said, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's true because I'm a living witness of what he can do in your life. I didn't always desire his presence. I didn't always desire to please him, but he showed himself to me. And guess what? I've never been the same. And because of that, I give him praise. And watch what he says. He says, you got a phone number? I said, absolutely. Let me give you my number, and we can have a further conversation. Because if you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if it really works in your life, you don't mind sharing it to other people. Now, if you keep it to yourself, then you're selfish. Well, got quiet right there. Ooh, got quiet right there, Jesus. If he's real and he has changed your life, you don't mind telling the story. Amen. Would you bow with me? And I just want you just to think about who God is. We've already described he is your protector. He is your helper. He is the life giver. And God just simply wants you to just desire him. Would you just desire him today? And what you're saying, well, I hadn't always done the right thing. It doesn't matter. The Bible says that God loves you. And nothing can change that. And if you're ready to make a decision today, he will come not only just into your life, but he will reshape your life. He will give you a new life today. And I know you're thinking, well, don't I have to do a number of steps? No. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you call on Jesus and know that you are insufficient and that you're inadequate, that you fall short, you're in a great place for him to lift you up. My God. You're in a great position for him to reach into your life and change you. Father, we thank you right now for your word. God, you continue to wreck our world by reminding us of who you are. God, we admit sometimes we just forget and get so consumed by just everyday rhythms and everyday life. God, would you forgive us for not hungering and craving you? Father, I pray right now for Chris, who I met at Enterprise. I pray that he would encounter your presence even now. Father, I pray that, God, it's not my job to control the outcome. God, I'm supposed to just sow the seed. God, would you let that seed take root and change his life, God? And Father, for those who don't mind sharing the gospel, God, would you give them confidence in knowing that you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think, Lord. So may they be faithful in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that has not encountered and experienced the life-altering, life-reshaping Jesus, I pray, God, that you would speak to their heart right now. God, it is not by accident, Lord, that you sent them here today. God, they need to hear, God, that you love them. They need to hear, God, that you have a plan for them. And God, that you will ultimately satisfy them, God, like nothing else in this world. Father, I pray that they will surrender to you today, God. And Father, I pray even for that person, God, who's just drifted away from you, Lord, because the other things became bigger than you. The jobs became bigger than you. Finding a soulmate, God, became bigger than you, God. Finding the right place to live, God, has become bigger than you, God. God, just being satisfied has become bigger than you, Lord, and it's caused them to drift away from you. Father, you're able to reclaim, God, all that has been lost. So, Father, for that person who's drifted away from you, God, would you remind them that you have not forgotten them, you have not abandoned them, and yet, God, you desire intimate relationship with them. God, you want to use them. God, may they trust you today. And then lastly, Lord, we pray for the persons that may be looking for a church family where they can be a part of a family of God that's going to encourage them, that's going to equip them, that's going to help them be reminded of who you are. God, thank you for sending them here. God, would you speak to their hearts today? Church, would you pray and intercede for those that are in need of prayer, those who need Jesus, that need to be reclaimed by Jesus, and then those that need to be a part of Jesus' family? Would you just pray, intercede for them right now? Begin to intercede. Pray that God would move on their heart and give them the courage to respond. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're here and you're saying, Pastor, the Lord is speaking to me. I need to give my life to Jesus today. Or I need to rededicate my life to him today. Or I need to be a part of his church family today. Would you just raise your hand right where you are? If you know the Lord is speaking to your heart right now, don't miss the moment. God sent you here to let you know that he loves you. If you're here and you say, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to rededicate my life. Need to be a part of his family. Just raise your hand right where you are. Amen. Father, we thank you right now for how your spirit continues to minister to our soul. Father, we pray that before anyone leaves today, God, they will make a decision for you today. God, it doesn't have to be a public moment. It can be a private moment right where they are. But God, we want to celebrate with them, Lord. So if they made a decision today, Lord, God, we want to celebrate with them and rejoice in what you're doing in their life. And God, we give you the praise for it. Because God, only you can do what only you can do. To your name be all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap real quick.